for those who are lost. Sometimes it's not always easy bearing Calvary's cross. We've been ridiculed by those who don't know him, and mocked by those who don't believe. Still I love standing up for my Jesus, 'cause of all that he's done for me. That's why I am not ashamed of the gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am not afraid to be counted. I'm willing to give my life. Well, I'm willing to be what he wants me to be. Give up the wrong for the right. I am not ashamed of the gospel. No, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For every moment his hand has had mercy, for all the love he showed in my life. A simple thanks just doesn't say how I'm feeling. I get tears in my eyes. Well, acts for me, I'm gonna keep on believing in the one who's been so faithful to me. I'm not out to please this whole world around me. I've got my mind set on eternity. That's why I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am not afraid to be counted. I'm willing to give my life. Well, I'm willing to be what he wants me to be. Give up the wrong for the right. No, I am not ashamed of the gospel. No, I am not ashamed of the gospel. No, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Mrs. Swinton. I just want you to know, I'm not ashamed of the gospel either. You know, to be honest with you, the song kind of folds into what I wanted to preach on tonight. You know, and when preachers stand up, they don't talk to the musicians, at least most of the time we don't talk to them, say, hey, will you sing this or sing that? They just follow what they believe God wants them to sing, and God has a tendency, you know, to get involved in things and kind of fold the message and song and everything. He's all about this things and decently in order and, you know, that kind of stuff. And so I appreciate that, Mrs. Swinton. God bless you. Take your Bible, if you would, tonight, Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter number 4. I want to preach to you tonight, church, on the power of influence. The power of influence. Once you find your place, would you stand with me? Acts 4, we're going to begin reading in verse 1 and read down through verse number 14 for the message. Now, before I begin to read, let me just kind of fill you in where we are at this point. Peter and John, if you'll remember, in Acts 3, have just healed a man at the Gate Beautiful. You say, well, what's so bad about that? Well, that just got some people all upset. Now, you know what? There's always going to be people that are going to get upset with the gospel or with someone trying to extend a helping hand to someone. Somebody's always going to get bent out of shape. But I've often found in Scripture the people that got bent out of shape with the gospel or someone extending help to someone seem to always be lost people. They seem to be the crowd that got bent out of shape when Jesus would do something positive to try to reach somebody or help somebody in a situation. Well, Peter and John, as you know, spent quite a bit of time with Jesus. And the Lord's influence rubbed off on them. Well, you know, when you walk with someone for approximately 3 years or something, they're probably going to rub off on you a little bit. And Acts chapter 4, things begin to get a little bit rough for Peter and John. And I want you to notice, beginning in verse 1, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And they laid hands on them, and I don't mean they extended the right hand of fellowship. They laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. In other words, they took them and cast them into jail. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed. And the number of the men was about 5,000. And this was point 2 of Peter's sermon. Point 1, on Pentecost, at least 3,000 were saved and baptized. Point 2, 5,000 people were saved. And matter of fact, as you begin to read in the book of Acts chapter 4 and 5 and beyond, you'll see that then the Bible just begins to say there were multitudes and then multiplied multitudes that began to get saved and added to the church. Verse 5, and it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. When they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, that's going to make a difference here in just a second, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means is he made whole? Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. Now let me tell you where they got that boldness from. Remember it said in verse 8, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, people like Caiaphas, the high priest, these guys, they're not going to intimidate you. And it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And listen to this. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, may I say to you, how did they know that? Because of the power of influence. The power of the Son of God's influence had rubbed off on them. Look at verse 14. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. They could say nothing against it. Why? Because everything Peter said was true. Everything that their eyes had seen were true. Hey, this guy had been this way for a long time, and now he was no longer lame. He was now happy. He was now excited. He was now on his feet. And they're looking at him thinking, this can't be, but it looks like it can be. Now, Peter and John, and you'll find as you read through Scripture, other the apostles, but we're going to separate these two guys out tonight for just a moment and talk to you about the power of influence. Now, Father, bless our time together, and we're grateful that we have the privilege to be in church. We do want to learn something tonight from the Bible. Holy Ghost of God, move up and down the pews in the hearts of people. My prayer is that every person in the sound of my voice, that they came to church with an open heart and an open spirit, that they might receive the preaching and the teaching of your word. And may we leave tonight stirred about what you want to do in and through our life. In Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. Many of you have seen people walking around, particularly in the last few months, and some of them will have their Dallas Cowboy jerseys on with their favorite player on the back. Or some will have a different jersey on as we get into baseball season. People will start wearing their baseball jerseys with their favorite player's name on the back. Or you might see some people walking around with $300 and $400 Jordan tennis shoes. You know what they pay for? They pay for that little emblem on the side. You know why they pay that kind of money? They want to be identified. Now let me tell you something. All of these athletics, or all these athletes and people that are putting out all these products, people are buying them by the droves. Why? The power of influence. Influence. And influence caused these people to purchase these items. Influence caused these people to literally yield their money willingly to purchase these items. And by the way, they thought nothing of it because of the influence of the person that had impacted them enough to buy their jersey. So don't tell me that the power of influence isn't strong. It is. Even in the secular world, it's strong. Sunday, I wrote the article in the Announcer. If you read it, I just want to relay quickly to you that story. I came across a story some time ago about a chief in a village over 100 years ago. And the chief had been injured in an accident, could no longer walk. And so he literally made himself a pair of crutches. He made himself a pair of crutches, and of course, the people in the village really had not seen anything like this before, but the village chief was basically paralyzed, and so he kind of handcrafted him a pair of crutches, and boy, he got real good. He got to the place where he could run on those crutches and jump on those crutches and do tricks with those crutches. Matter of fact, he was so proud of those, he taught his children how to walk on crutches. He began to make a pair of crutches for them and taught them how to walk on crutches. So much that the children, as he began to teach them how to walk on crutches, no longer used their legs. They relied specifically on the crutches. Well, it wasn't long before that crutches became a status symbol in the village. And before long, everyone was walking on crutches. Why? Because of one man, the chief's influence. By the fourth generation, no one in the village could walk without crutches because of the influence of one man. Matter of fact, even in the village, they were teaching a course to the children on how to walk on crutches. And may I say to you that the village craftsmen became real famous for the quality of crutches they produced. You see, the influence of one man affected four generations of people. Now, all I'm saying to you tonight is influence has some power behind it. Now, may I ask you tonight, who's influencing you? You see, who we choose to keep company with determines, for the most part, how we act, how we talk, and how we live our life. You see, the power of influence is incredible. You know, I wonder who we're allowing to exert their influence upon our lives. Parents, let me ask you this. I wonder who we're allowing, what people we're allowing to exert influence upon the lives of our children. What are we allowing them to watch? Who are we allowing them to be around? You see, the thing about it, this chief did not realize the type of influence that he had, but here it was, four generations later, nobody could even walk because they had spent all of their life on crutches, thinking that that was what you had to do to walk. You say, isn't it amazing? Why didn't they just stand up? Why didn't they just do something? Why? Because they were taught, since they were a child, you can't walk unless you have crutches. You see, I wonder who we're allowing to direct our attitude and carry us every day through life. You see, the power of influence can change your spirit, or it can excite you for the things of God. I remember years ago when my children were small, I think my wife was in Walmart, I think it was, I'm not sure she knew at that time, but they had one of the Texas Rangers baseball players in there, and you know, people were standing there, and you could get your picture taken with them, and my boys wanted to get their picture taken with the baseball player, and I'm telling you, they went in, had their picture taken with this Texas Ranger baseball player, and when I got home, boy, you know what, they were just like this, telling me all about how they got their picture taken with a professional baseball player. You say, why was that so important? Influence. Influence. It was a status thing. Hey, bet you didn't get your picture taken with a professional player. You see, it was the influence of these players that drew these people. May I say to you tonight that according to Acts chapter 4, Peter and John had been influenced. You know who they were influenced by? Not a Texas Ranger, not a Dallas Cowboy, not a political figure, not a president. You know who they were influenced by? Jesus. And the thing about it is that even the lost world recognized that they had been with Jesus. You see, Peter and John had done something that caused the whole city of Jerusalem to take notice. They had healed an impotent man. Remember, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Hey, listen, he didn't have silver and gold, but he did have something that impotent man didn't have. He had the Holy Ghost of God. You see, the thing about it is, isn't it wonderful to know that you don't have to be rich to serve God? All you've got to do, if you're going to serve God and serve Him happily, is just have the Holy Ghost. You see, that man had been impotent since birth. Well, this angered some of the religious leaders of the city to the point that they arrested Peter and John. I like this, but not until after 5,000 people got saved. They got arrested shortly after that. You see, these men then were examined and found to have been with Jesus. Now, keep in mind, now, I realize that some of these people were alive when Jesus walked the earth. But now the Lord had been crucified, buried, rose from the dead, and now has ascended back to the Father. So the Lord is not walking the earth anymore at this point. So something they saw in these men that identified them with Jesus. Now, folks, I'm sad to say that it doesn't take long to look around and find out who's influencing who. You see, the thing about it is, unfortunately, too many things that are probably not going to matter in eternity are influencing us in our life. These were two men that had been so influenced after 3 years of walking with Christ, influenced by Him in such an incredible way, that it was very evident even to lost people that they had been with Jesus. When's the last time someone's come up to you and said, brother, sister, I just want to let you know I see Jesus in you. I just want you to know that I can see the reflection of the Holy Ghost in your face. I just want you to know that when I get around you, I feel the presence of God in your life. I wonder, when's the last time someone said that about us? Or is it when they get around us, all they're going to get are statistics from whatever? Or all they're going to get is political talk. And by the way, I'm not against political talk, and I'm not against sports. But you know what? At some point, folks, when's the love of Jesus going to rub off on us? The only way that it can is if you spend time with Him. You see, Peter and John had spent 3 years of serving with Jesus. Now, here's what I want to do tonight. Give these to you. We're probably not going to be able to cover everything, so I'm going to give you some places to jot down, and we'll look at some right here in the book of Acts. Peter and John were so influenced by Jesus. Here's what I'm going to say to you. First of all, number one, they thought like Jesus. They thought like Jesus. Now, go back if you would, look at Acts chapter 3. Okay? Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." Wait, stop. Did you see what they said? "Look on us." I wonder where they got that idea from. I wonder if maybe they had seen Jesus do something like this many times when He healed the blind, many times when He caused the deaf ears to hear and made the lame to walk again. "Look upon me. Look on me." And they saw this lame man, and Peter said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus of Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." Now this fella got something he didn't expect. You say, why did they do this? Because they thought like Jesus. Can I remind you that Jesus was heading into Samaria and stopped at a well in John chapter 4? And the disciples said, we're hungry. He said, "Okay, why don't y'all run over? There's McDonald's, Burger King right down the road. Y'all go and get you something. I'm going to stay here at the well." Why? Because he's looking for souls. You see, Peter and John had seen Jesus do this before. They had seen Him come upon someone that was in great need. "Look upon us. Look upon me." And he got that woman at the well. That's after a long time of conversation with her, beginning to help her to see that she came for water, that she would thirst again. He said, "But if you drink of the water that I speak of, you shall never thirst again." Boom! Born into the family of God. Now you say, well, how do we know she got saved? Because she went back in town and told everybody everything that had happened and said, "Come on, see what happened to me. I got born again." You see, that's a pretty good sign a person gets saved. It's when they get concerned about other people. You see, Peter and John, they saw a soul in need and responded just like they had seen the one who had the power of influence. If you'll remember in John chapter 8, remember there was an adulterous woman cast down at Jesus' feet. Those men were about ready to stone her. They said she was caught in the very act of adultery. The wonderful thing is, Jesus bent down in the sand and wrote something down in the sand. Never even looking up, He says, "He that is without sin, cast the first stone." Nobody cast a stone. They all left. Jesus looks up. The adulterous woman is there. And He says, "Ma'am, where are your accusers?" "Well, they've gone, Lord." He said, "Then neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Can I say something to you? When they saw that man at the gate, Beautiful, they saw someone in need and helped him. They had seen this before. They had seen it at the well in John 4. They had seen it with the adulterous woman in John 8. And may I say to you, if you'll remember in John chapter 5, the impotent man at the pool of Bethesda. Remember that man? Remember that Jesus healed him? You see, folks, what I'm saying is these people had a need and Jesus responded to that need. Peter and John are going up at the hour of prayer. Here's a lame man at the gate. They saw a need and went back and met that need. I wonder how many people we pass by every day. They may not be impotent men. They may not be blind men. They may not be deaf men. I wonder how many people that we pass by that are in need. And we just pass by. You know why we do? Because we haven't been with Jesus. His power of influence hasn't rubbed off on us enough to we will stop and assist someone in a time of need. You see, they thought like Jesus. You see, not only did they see a soul in need and respond, Jesus was a man of compassion. May I remind you in John chapter 11, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, many of you that quote this in college chapel, Jesus wept. Now, you know, I don't know about you, but when you see somebody that's hurting, tears rolling down their face, and you see the anguish of their soul, you know what starts boiling up in you? Tears. Because you can feel their hurt. That's called compassion. When you can feel another's pain. You see, the thing about it, Peter and John had seen Jesus weep before. You see, they saw his tears when he looked over Jerusalem and saw them in his eyes when he had compassion over them and said, "Their sheep having no shepherd, they're scattered abroad." You see, they saw his tender heart toward Jairus as he raised his daughter from the dead. Go back, if you would, in Acts chapter 4. Look down at verse number 19. When they told Peter and John not to speak anymore, teach anymore in the name of Jesus, Peter said, the scripture says, verse 19, "But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in thy sight or in the sight of God to hearken unto you, more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." You know why? Power of influence. They had been influenced by the Son of God so much to the point they thought like Jesus. But didn't Paul also tell the Philippian church, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus"? You say, "I want that mind so bad." Then you're going to have to be found to be with Jesus then. You're going to have enough time spent with him to where you begin to think like him, where you begin to see the needs of people, where you begin to see the lost souls walking up and down the streets every day, where you begin to see people who need help. You see, Peter and John, the power of influence upon them so much that they were said to be with Jesus. May I say, number two, that not only did they thought like Jesus, number two, they acted like Jesus. They acted like Jesus. May I remind you that in Acts chapter 3, when you go back and begin to read in verse number 12, we're not going to read it. You read verse 12 all the way through verse 26. This was point number two of Peter's sermon. It's a pretty good point. Now, he didn't go very long. But if you'll look at verse number 19, he did throw this in, "Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." He kind of threw that in there and just said, "Y'all are not going to make it if you don't repent." You see, not only did they think like Jesus, they acted like Jesus. You see, Peter began to use the word repent, but if you'll remember, when Jesus first came on the scene, guess what he came preaching? Repent! Repent! I wonder how many times he used that in his teaching and preaching, those 3 years that the disciples followed him. You see, you know where he got this idea? Probably most of the points that Peter got from his message, guess where he got them from? Probably got them from Jesus. See, that's the reason probably it would do some of us good that when preaching's going on, either here or you're somewhere else, to take you something and write down what's being said. Wonder if Peter might have taken some notes somewhere. He said, oh, preacher, come on now. They didn't have no spiral notebooks and ink pens in that day or whatever. Listen, I don't know what, but some of these things, I guarantee you, he got them from Jesus. Particularly this part about repentance. You see, they not only thought like Jesus, they acted like Jesus. Hey, may I say to you, they didn't pass up the opportunity to speak out to the multitudes. And may I remind you, neither did Jesus pass up an opportunity to speak to the multitudes. If you'll remember, Matthew 5, 6, 7, he spoke the Sermon on the Mount. May I also remind you that when the crowds were gathered and he was pressed, that he stepped into a fishing boat and thrust out a little ways from the shore to preach to the multitudes. Why? He didn't pass up the opportunity. Hey, folks, listen, we're passing up opportunities to reach people every day of our life. Say, preacher, why? I want to see people saved, and I have a burden. I want to see people reach for Christ. Well, spend more time with Jesus. The power of influence. The power of influence. You see, Jesus took the opportunity even to speak from the cross, if you'll remember. If you'll remember from the cross, he uttered many things, but one of the things that he uttered from the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he uttered from the cross, it is finished. And may I remind you, Jesus, even on the cross, didn't pass up an opportunity to speak. We pass up way too many opportunities. Why is that? It may be that we're not thinking like Jesus and we're not acting like Jesus because we're not spending much time with Jesus. You see, when you spend time with people, you begin to act like them. You begin to think like them. Many of you, when Brother Randy Taylor comes and preaches for us, many of you probably have never heard Joe Boyd preach. But Brother Randy Taylor spent years and years and years with evangelist Joe Boyd, who's with the Lord now. And if I close my eyes and just listen. Am I telling the truth, Brother Sam? Close my eyes and listen. I would think that was Joe Boyd preaching, but it's Randy Taylor preaching. Why? Power of influence. The thing about it, he was so close to the man of God, he began to even develop his style of preaching. His voice inflections began to sound like Joe Boyd. So what I'm saying to you tonight is Peter and John not only thought like Jesus, they acted like Jesus. May I say, they didn't run from opposition either. And neither did Jesus. No, the Lord never ran from opposition. He stood up. Right's right, wrong's wrong. Hey, let me tell you something. You couldn't get in a situation that was more opposing to you than walking in the temple, there's money changers, and just go start kicking things over and pushing tables over. He said, listen, you've made my father's house. This is a house of prayer. You made it a den of thieves. I mean, he went right up in among them. And began to throw and cast, push tables over and cast them out of the temple. You see, because they had been with Jesus, they thought like him. They acted like him. Number three, they developed the same goals. They developed the same goals. May I remind you that Jesus' goal was, he said, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. You know what Peter and John's intentions were? To seek and to save that which was lost. Even to the point it cost them their lives. But may I remind you, what did it cost their master? What did it cost the one who had influenced them? It cost Jesus his life as well. Why? The power of influence. They developed the same goals. They sought after souls, just like Jesus sought after souls. Matter of fact, so much, he found Zacchaeus up in a sycamore tree, said, "Come down, I'm going to your house today." Called him out of a sycamore tree. If you'll remember, he sought out his own disciples. They didn't come following him. He went and sought them out and found them. You see, he didn't miss opportunity. That which a person uses by taking advantage of an occasion to achieve an end or a purpose. And neither did Peter and John. May I remind you that it was Jesus that said, after we get them saved, they're to be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. May I say to you that not only did Jesus come to save them, he also came for them to identify themselves with him in believers' baptism. May I say also to you that not only did he come seeking souls, not only did he come preaching that after you're saved, you're to get baptized in identification with Christ, but he also came, they also set goals because Jesus had goals that these apostles, Peter, James, John, and all the rest, set goals to obtain personal righteousness. Remember, Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So you know what? They had heard this before. So you know what? They sought personal righteousness. Why? Because they were influenced by the Master. They were influenced, the power of influence on their life. You know what we're going to have to do, church? We're going to have to remove all thoughts of personal gain. We're going to have to get to a place where material things are no longer important to us. You see, Jesus, if I may remind you, when he sent his apostles out into the surrounding villages, you know what he sent them equipped with? Nothing. No money. No clothes. He said, "You won't need anything." He said, "I'll take care of you when you get out there." "Well, what about food?" "I'll take care of that." "What are we going to say?" "Don't worry about it. When you get there, the Holy Ghost will tell you what to say." He sent them out with nothing. Oh, and then as a kicker, Brother Hinton, you know what he said? He said, "Oh, by the way, guys, you've got something else for us, Lord." "Yeah, I just wanted you to know, you're going out as sheep among wolves. God bless you." Just to throw in a little kicker. To encourage them. So may I remind you, they not only thought like Jesus, they acted like Jesus, they set the same goals. And then let me give you this last one. They desired more of his presence. Would you look in Acts 4 for just a moment? Acts 4. And verse 23. Now if you'll remember, these men were arrested. Look at verse. Go back and look at verse 21. "So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was shown." Now, so they looked around. "We ain't got anything." So they let them go. But did you notice before they sent them out, they threatened them. May I say to you again, Mrs. Swinton, I am not ashamed of the gospel. They told him, "Don't you go out and preach again. We'll throw you in jail. Don't you go out and do this again. You're going to regret it." They threatened them, but I want you to notice what happened. "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and sea and all that in them is." Look at verse 31. "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness." You think a little threatening bothered them? No. When they let them go, guess what they did? They went right back and did the exact same thing. Why? Power of influence. Power of influence. And all I want to do tonight, church, is just get you to think, who's influencing you? Can people look at you and say, you know what, I see Jesus in you. I see Christ in your life. You see, the power of influence is a very powerful thing. Even the lost world looked at these men and said, you know what, we can tell you've been with Jesus. Can people say that about you? Are you thinking like Jesus? Are you acting like Jesus? Do you have the same goals? Are you concerned about souls like Jesus was? Do you desire His presence more and more? Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many can say?